we haven't really necessarily covered your entire career, so to speak, with the Cordell dives. I wondered if you could, each just briefly sort of summarize that. Well, I started in such and such, and my last dive or experience there was such and such. Giving a sense of maybe how many dives you might have done. Does that make sense?
I first met Bob and the Cordell expeditions in the fall of 85. So there was just one more dive on the Cordell Bank after that. That was at the end of 86 because we went down to Monterey that year. And then we came back for one last five-day session up on the Cordell Bank. So I was out there just that one time. Then later we've been up there since then, but that was all.
Were you aware that was the last dive?
Yeah, because Bob said he was, when the Cordell Bank became a sanctuary, he was going to call the expeditions over. Hmm. And I don't think it actually became a sanctuary until 89. But 86, they had already turned in all the paperwork and that sort of thing, had the public hearings, and so, or maybe the public hearings were in 88, but anyway, that, it was in the bag.
Well, I feel that I'm extremely lucky that I was at the right place at the right time when Bob sent out a call for divers. So I came on board in 1977, right from the beginning, and went through all these strategy meetings, and I feel that in some way I contributed to help steer the expedition in the right direction, whether it was photography and what we wanted to do. And despite missing the first dive in 78 and missing the dive in 79, I managed to get in 17 dives on the bank in the following years. So that by far made up for the two first years that I missed the diving. And I like to summarize or characterize the expedition as a bunch of people finding a window that looked at Cordell Bank. And our job was to open that window. The first 2 years, that window opened slowly and a very little bit. It opened enough that enough information came out that it just piqued our curiosity. We wanted to do more. We wanted to improve our techniques, because we didn't get enough the first 2 years. So we did. We improved our techniques. We got there easier. We found a place. And that window opened a little bit more. And next few years, more information, more data came out. And by the mid-80s and 85, that window was almost all the way open. We know we can go there. We can bring back specimens by the bucketfuls. We can bring back pictures by the hundreds and thousands. And the window was open now that now the public has their opportunity to see it. And we have enough information where we could go out and have presentations to the public, help bring Cordell Bank to the public awareness. And besides the diving, it was a real joy putting together presentations. One of our biggest presentations was at the Cal Academy of Science. What do we use, 12 projectors and a...
I was
going to
say 8.
But oh, 8. Oh, 8, all synchronized with... with the film camera projecting here. Paul Hara was very good at media, multimedia production. So we were up all night trying to get this production together. And we got together and we took it to the Gal Academy. Those were all really quite rewarding for our efforts. Now that window is really open. I think it's going to stay open, especially since Cordell Bank became a National Marine Sanctuary. And people like yourself, Jennifer, and Dan Howard is still keeping Cordell Bank in the public eye. And you have your programs where you bring students in and you bring teachers in. This is all going to help in keeping that window open. So I'm glad that in some way I was a participant in opening.
That's well put, thank you.
So Sue, do you like to summarize your career, so to speak, and if you have anything else on your notes to bring up?
So when I look at my diving experience, I got certified in 1975, and I got hooked up with Cordell Expeditions in 1979. And so those expeditions really happened kind of early in my diving career. And in many ways, I was innocent when I had a wetsuit that had, it had a bottom and a jacket. It was not even a Farmer John. It's amazing. But fortunately, the dives are really short, so I couldn't get too cold. But during those expeditions, I moved to a dry suit. During those expeditions, I got a strobe that actually would flash on demand. But later, after Cordell Bank, I went on to Point Sur. I did Rocos Alijos. I did Easter Island. But I also got additional diving training. I got trained as a rescue diver, scientific diver, cave diver, and it probably would have been better if I'd been a cave diver before I ever went to Cordell Bank, because I would have learned a lot about equipment that would have been a safer way to go. I didn't know. It was really the beginning. Now, sometimes, once in a very rare while, someone contacts me about diving at Cordell Bank, and could they go do it? And I always say we had a lot of advantages that they probably don't have. We were really lucky to have Bob as organized as he was. We had a lot of divers with way more experience than I had at the time. And we had a team that worked together. And when I think about a diver going out to Cordell Bank now, maybe with, let's say, six people went out on a boat or something, and you need to find the place. You need to find the ridge. They're very sharp pinnacles. It's not like a plateau at 120 feet, it's like a high point at 120 feet, and then it drops off real fast. So I think that organization that Bob developed really made it possible, and I think it would be really tough for Joe Diver to go out there and jump in and hit a spot that they could actually get to and live. So I think we were really lucky to do it this way.